In order to think, you have to raise a good question. Brother Ejaz, every question is not, according to Islamic teaching, Quranic, every question is not worth of being asked.
Sure.
The one that can help you in hereafter, in the final destination of yours.
Sure.
That could be a good,
sure.
Because there is an order in Quran said, don't ask of those things that if it can be revealed to you, is going to cause you problem.
Sure.
This is a Quranic understanding.
Sure.
I would like to raise a question, because the way we look at, the way the entire world looking at Imam Khomeini, may his holy soul rest in peace, is this, that he was a leader, of course.
Of
he
course.
Was a leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Sure.
My question is this, in order to understand, who can be a leader? What's a leader? Of course, somebody who can lead. Take you from position A to position B without any damage.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
With the least expenses. Mm. But the question is this, who can be a leader? My simple answer to you is this. Someone who has been to destination and came back.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Because you're talking about divine orders here. If you're not at a certain age, this is one of the personalities, great personalities of Imam. Some people think that Imam, of course, every different person during the course of his own time, he can become more perfect, okay?
Sure.
He can do things better. But Imam Khomeini, one of his unique way of approaching the fact was that when he was very young, he worked on himself, as we say.
Yes.
He really, really tried so hard in order to understand Quran and practice it.
Yes.
So someone like him can be a leader, and for the follower can have the trust to follow him, because he, against his personal desires, okay, he could have an open, a constant open eye to see his divine mission in order to lead people, okay,
sure.
to the right path and take him to the destination. Because another criteria I should mention here is this. Who can you trust? This is my question.
Sure.
How do you know that in a relationship, a mutual, of course it is.
Sure.
How can you trust? How can you pick a good company of somebody?
Sure.
My answer to you simply, according to the Quranic teaching and according to the good advice of the impeccables,
yes,
all the imams. Prophets and imams, is
yes.
this. Someone who doesn't, listen to the criteria again,
sure.
and think about it.
Sure.
Someone who doesn't invite you to himself.
But invites you to God.
Invites you to the truth.
The truth, yeah.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Absolutely.
And he helps you.
Sure.
And he helps himself.
Sure.
And in this, with this dialogue, with this kind of mutual understanding and relationship, you both can grow.
Yes, yes.
So again, if someone does call upon you to do something, to gain something for himself or herself, this is not a good sign.
No.
This is a warning.
Mm.
This is something you have to be cautious about.
Yeah.
Imam Khomeini never, ever says somebody to follow him. Remember, before he became a marja, he never ever tried to write his risala, the practical book of religious do's and don'ts.
Don'ts.
He did not.
Mm.
They asked him to, you know, to use the share of the impeccables, the part of the one-fifth of Allah's duty, which we call khums.
Sure.
He never allowed that money, for that money to be funded for something personal.
Sure.
Think about that.
Yeah. But I want to answer that.
But he became a great marja later on.
Sure. But I want to get to the nitty-gritty of the fact that, you know, we're talking about a superpower that is doing the things which wanted to humiliate the country called Iran. And I'm saying that Imam Khomeini is not saying that this great Satan for the sake of just popular press. Why does he say that? And what was the prevalent criteria?
I was going to get to this
part. Because the thing being, and I like to elaborate a little bit on my question. The reason being that in the 7th century, there was a culture of jahiliya. They say that it was an age of ignorance. You said to me that in the 7th century, you have to look at the broader context of the world.
You have to.
And you're quite right about that. But
so
the
you
point
shouldn't
is,
just study the situation in Arabian Peninsula.
Right.
You should know exactly what happened in Persia,
yeah.
India, Egypt.
Sure.
And
Rome. What you're seeing at the end of the day is that in the 7th century, there was not a body of knowledge or any light by which man could be guided towards perfection. Because that's what we're really talking about. Because you talked about two things. You talked about the reward of the body being paradise and the reward of the soul being God Almighty himself. In other words, the other civilizations were also off track, even though the Roman Empire was monotheistic. It was Christian. It believed in a text and a prophet that had come several centuries before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Yet they were not the solution. They were not correct in their terms of their view of what man was and where he's going. And similarly, in the East, they are mostly polytheistic. They were believing in many gods. So even the concept of one God was very difficult for them to absorb. What I'm saying now is, was Imam Khomeini talking about the great Satan because there's an age of Jahiliyyah which they are spreading throughout the world?
Good question. On a lighter note, let me ask you this. Do you know why Satan wants to take everybody to hell?
No, I don't.
Because he doesn't want to be alone.
He doesn't need our company that badly, does he?
Have you ever thought about that?
No.
I mean, think about it. He knows he's going to hell.
Wow.
Why? He disappointed his creator.
But he's
God told him something to do.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Hmm.
Then he started challenging God.
Yeah.
Oh, why you created me? You created me from the fact of that I'm from fire.
Fire, yeah.
And he's from clay, and fire is obviously superior to... I mean, this is nonsense.
Yes.
Hey, Allah told him to prostrate for him in front of Adam, peace be upon him,
sure,
just to test him.
Yes.
He wants to know who was nosy. I make it simple for you. Do we have to know the answer for everything?
No.
Can we find the answer to everything? What's the submission means? You have to be submissive to something. And you cannot be submissive to nobody except for your own creator. He knows you best.
Best, yes.
Okay? By definition, we talked about this before.
Sure, yeah.
So on the lighter note, he knows. He knows he's going to hell.
Mm.
So who wants to be alone in that misery?
In that misery.
He wants to have company.
Yeah. To watch their misery.
Exactly.
To feel better.
To feel better.
To feel better.
I mean, this
because
is the psychology.
We have to say that because Satan is doing it out of sheer hatred because he's jealous and he's vengeful.
Mm-hmm. So this one thing. Putting this aside.
Yeah. Is that the same with the United States?
I'm getting to that part. I'm getting to that part. Yeah. Yes, it is. Why? Hmm. Because when American mentality...
Yeah.
So, not mentioning any names right now.
Right. Because there are three qualities here, isn't there? There's arrogance, which is what Imam Khomeini referred
which
to...
Satan is good at it.
Which is... Satan is
cockiness,
good at it. Cockiness, arrogance. At the same time, vengefulness.
And be proud of it.
Yeah.
And don't even think for a second that he might be wrong.
Sure.
Don't listen to the logic.
Yeah.
Behind
and the other fact is that because of that arrogance and that vengefulness, that because that's what we're seeing. After 34 years, when America lost its footing here in Iran, they have become extremely vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
I
would use different word here.
Paranoid?
They became vicious.
Vicious, yeah.
You know, I mean, you talk about doing something savagely.
Yeah, I mean, because they threaten Iran every single moment.
And nobody asks this simple question on a constantly basis, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of debt Iran had to you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, the thing is this.
Yeah.
The mentality goes
sure.
like this.
Sure.
When America is talking about of our way of life, which
yes,
they think is superior,
yeah.
I give you the clue.
Yeah.
I give you the signs. You know, we're not against nobody, okay?
Yeah.
You know who's the biggest enemy of us? Ourselves.
Selves. Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A'da adovvik nafsik allati bayna jambayk. The mere translation, again, impeccable, says, the worst enemy of yours is your own soul, which is within your capacity.
Exactly.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
How much we really, truly love ourselves. If we did, we couldn't commit sin to go and see the difficulties of hereafter, if you believe
well,
in it.
That's a very important point now you're raising there, because...
Do you know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. So we are oppressors even for ourselves.
By claiming... Remember, we were talking about claim. I'm going to get back to this point.
Sure.
When you claim, Brother Ejaz, you make the task harder for yourself.
You do.
The bigger the claim...
The harder it becomes.
The harder it becomes. It's like, you know, you're digging... The whole.
But I like to add in at this point that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah, knew the price, and he lived it, because it meant also, it meant self sacrifice.
What's the blame, or what's the question that God put upon us? He said, "Lima taqulun? Why you say things? Ma la taf'alun? You cannot come out of it. You cannot take action upon,
upon it.
Why say so?
Why make
bother?
False claims?
Why you make false claims?
Yeah.
Why?"
Yeah,
as simple as that.
We're coming back to the shadow of God again, aren't we?
We're getting back to that, which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Nonsense.
Nonsense.
How a society, you know, of course they didn't, because there was a struggle.
Yeah.
The revolution is not something sudden. It takes time.
Sure.
It was an ongoing process, struggle, very difficult. How, for God's sake, somebody call himself shadow of God? This kind of crap, nonsense.
Hmm.
Okay? Which you cannot take to any bank.
No.
And you cannot deposit it anywhere.
Mm.
In order to withdraw later on.
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, what we're saying there, even though... Even though we're making a metaphor here in terms of seeing the shadow of God, but how could a Muslim... How does a Muslim say such a
that
thing?
That tells you something.
That's verging on unbelief.
How serious, how genuine... How trustworthy you are.
Yeah.
Okay, and you saw the end result.
Sure.
Don't forget what I keep saying.
Yeah.
You saw the end result.
Yes.
Where is he?
And where was the sultanate that he had?
Exactly. Mm. How many people he tortured by Savak? How many people he killed? How he's going to respond to this? How he's going to be accountable? Of course, God is going to
make him accountable.
Do whatever.
Yeah.
But... In on a surface, if you ask him, look, you're not doing just, you're not doing fair things, you're ruining everybody's life, you make people miserable.
And you deviate them.
And you make, exactly.
Mm.
Then you expect for people to sit there forever, you know, and say nothing against this. Of course, they're going to fed up. Everything has a limit. Brother Ejaz, this is another criteria of the creation.
Well,
system.
I mean, let's go
Everything
back.
Has a limit.
Your limit. Because,
which is short.
Sure. Because the thing is that, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says, everything else can be tolerated except for injustice.
Exactly. When America claims, this is a big claim.
Yeah.
We are the leader
of the free world.
The free world.
Liberty.
Who's we?
Democracy. Who's we?
Every single word has a meaning,
and
somebody has to be
held accountable for it. Yes.
And I say something with their mentality.
Sure.
My question to them is this.
What?
Especially when we took hostages, which Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him, called them the second revolution. Sure. And it was.
It was, yes.
And it was. You have to think about it.
That's right.
If it wasn't for the fact that the slogan, the principle of the struggle of Iranian people, whom... happened to be a Muslim, whom happened to be a Shia, wants to follow the path of Islam, when they say the slogan of independence, remember carefully, these words is chosen carefully, independence, then freedom, then Islamic Republic. Because without being disconnected from the atrocities that U.S. government committed in this country under the regime of Shah, the dictatorship of Shah, you know, without getting rid of that, how could we face freedom? Think about that. First comes independence.
Mm.
Then freedom. Then we can breathe.
Mm.
Then we can be really free
sure.
to decide. Listen to this part. This is the beauty part. The beautiful part.
Sure, sure.
After you disconnect from the tyrant, from the Pharaoh of the time.
Time, yeah.
Then you can judge for yourself. You can make a decision for yourself, for your society, for your own people.
Mm.
Okay? Under the true freedom, then you can pick the Islamic Republic. Listen to this. All in order. You cannot misplace the word.
Yes.
The ranking is in order. It's the same.
Same.
Has to be the same.
Sure.
whoever, and I'm not mentioning any names, they misplace these words. They distort
the order of them.
The order of them. The fact that the slogan, which still is in place, intact, applicable.
Sure.
You have to do it. You have to be careful about it. Is Istiqlal, which is independence.
Sure.
Then Azadi, which is freedom.
Sure.
Then you can pick Islamic Republic of Iran.
Sure.
In order to run your society.
Sure.
Again, back to explain it. But American says, we, who's we? My reply to them is this. Who died and made you the king?
Exactly.
Who died and made you the boss? We don't want boss. If there is a boss, it's going to be from us in order to run the system. That's a different story.
Sure.
And we don't have bosses, by the way.
Sure.
We only have servants. Well, remember what Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him, said?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
He said, don't call me the leader. Call me the servant of the people. Because he could foresee all these things.
Yes.
He could see some people, arrogant, cocky, later on in the course of history, feel like they were somebody.
Bloody.
Okay?
Yeah.
And feel like there was a pharaoh in him.
He already stopped that. Due to the Quranic teaching.
Why? Because he's a true leader. Because he wants to take us from A to B.
B. And he's a
without
servant.
Any damage. And he did it.
Yeah.
He did his part.
Yeah.
Did we listen to him? That's a different story.
Story.
He said, don't call me that. Remember, this was after the incident that 13-year-old Shahid Fahmy, the martyr Fahmy there.
He said he was the leader.
He was the leader.
There.
And he meant it.
Yeah. This was the boy who sacrificed himself
Imam
under an
Khomeini
Iraqi tank.
He meant it.
Yeah.
He didn't just say it.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of saying
but
it.
But I want to make it clear for the listeners, in case they don't know, that this was the 13-year-old boy who sacrificed himself under an Iraqi tank at the time.
Okay?
Yeah.
So America says, we are the free world. Our way of life, our values, again, listen to this.
Sure.
Values. Mm. You are a society with, you call it yourself, which is a melting pot.
Sure.
We don't want to be a melting pot in that sense.
No.
That everybody does whatever he or she pleases.
Well, I'm just thinking of the quote.
We want to be the slave, the servant of God.
Yes, I'm just thinking. Well, not of Dick Cheney, because that's the thing that
that's a funny one.
Yeah, that's the one that that comes to mind immediately in recent times, where he says our way of life is just securing energy and oil. Is that all we're down
this
to?
Is all they care about oil?
Oil.
Yeah.
Just as long as Dick Cheney makes the millions,
the smell of oil attracts them.
Yeah, and avoids taxation.
The feeling. You know, the greasiness of it, the dirtiness of it attracts them, just like it does to British government.
Sure.
During the course of history. But let me explain something else.
Sure.
This is the Satan part. Mm. Why great Satan?
Yes.
This is the Satan part.
Yes, but why great Satan?
Invite everybody to himself, to itself, I should say, in this one.
Sure. The question is why great?
Why great? Mm. Because he calls on every single little Satan. Every single little Satan who might be sleepy at the time. He wakes them up. Let's look. There's a big battle going on. Let's arrange the troops. Call on Air Force, Navy, Ground Force.
Yes, mass mobilization.
Let me get more simple with this. Let me give you the real application of this. Let's bring European Union into this. Let's bring United Nations into this.
Sure.
And
whatever
what
else.
What's that body that always, you know, passes the
UN
resolution against Iran?
Yeah,
and the only thing it knows in this case, you know why I keep saying it? I'm very careful with picking these words.
Sure.
Because it doesn't give you something, something human. I use
something
this on
humane.
Purpose.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So when you talk about a cat, you can say it if you're not looking at the gender.
Sure.
Okay? So he calls upon every single Satan, and we have a narration that at the beginning, at the resurrection of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Satan called upon every single small Satan. Let's do something. Something big happened. And something big was that Islamic revolution.
Sure.
In our time.
Sure.
That's why this is not a label. You talk about reality. Imam didn't just say that because to give him a label.
Sure.
to identify them. Everybody knows who they are.
Sure.
Okay? They are against every single truth. If a nation wants to rise and take the destiny, for the sake of truth, to take their destiny into their own hand, they call them terrorists. Yeah. And there is good terrorists, bad terrorists.
Sure.
So who's doing what, where? You know, in the Iranian borders.
They falsely demonize
them. It doesn't. And one of their characteristics is this. You know, everybody wants everybody else to be like them.
Like themselves.
Is why the word demonizing comes into place.
Sure.
Because they are demon. Mm. They're demonizing everything.
Everybody. Yeah.
They, you know, putting this label, they portray the negative, the darkness that they always practice. But
sure.
They think nobody knows about it. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
Imam Khomeini, in that sense, was leading us in order to wake up and understand the whole situation.
And this comes straight out of the Quran.
Exactly.
Because we, as we said right at the beginning, that as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, He's not going to mention anything in the Quran which He's not going to make reality, make real. Because He did say that one day, those people who are abused and abased in this world are going to inherit this world.
Let me elaborate on this. While we're on the subject, we might don't come back to this.
Sure.
Some people say, how far can we carry this animosity with the U.S. government? Number one, I don't want to give you false hope here.
Mm.
Although I don't want to be pessimistic about it.
Sure.
Optimistically, I'm telling you, with the teaching of Quran and the narrations of impeccables and knowing the history of Islam, okay, 1400 years ago,
sure.
And losing logic and my intellect behind it, I tell you something.
Sure.
With regard to the relationship with America.
Sure.
Brother, if America does not do what it does, it's not America. It's not the nature of America.
Absolutely.
If Satan doesn't do satanic, you can't call him Satan. Mm. As long as this mentality, this proudness of self,
yes,
it's intact, America is going to do the same thing.
Sing.
Torture, killing, you know, on, all under the name. The sad part is this. We're not expecting anything from the enemy.
No.
We shouldn't.
No.
Because Quran doesn't tell us that.
No.
All Quran tells us to be vigilant about it.
Exactly.
To have open eyes. We don't expect nothing from America.
Yeah.
And the moment that America does not do this, America is gone.
Mm.
And that's not America. That's not down with America back then.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
right. This is very important to think about.
No, I think you have to say that the animosity is from America.
Exactly.
It's not coming from us. We're trying to help them to come to the right path.
We would be more than happy for them in order to get on the right
path. But to conclude...
And the right path is what?
Yeah.
The law of creation.
Exactly. But to conclude this program, Dr. Hasni, in order to stick with Quranic teaching, and that's what Imam Khomeini was living and acting upon, may God bless his great soul, we're talking about what happened to Pharaoh last minute in the Dead Sea.
Which one?
Well, the one that was in Egypt. And in the Dead Sea, and he, at the last minute, acknowledges the fact that God is one.
Well, Pharaoh was big at the time.
Yeah.
But we have this small, tiny, you know, they think they are Pharaoh. They're
well, I mean, that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying, that the enemy has that mentality, and it means that it will head for its own destruction. Well, it leaves me just to say, may the peace and blessings and mercy of Allah be upon you all. And thank
you. Same to
you. I hope that you have enjoyed the program today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
10 minutes. Yemen is starving to death. Almost every minute, a Yemeni child is dying of starvation. The impoverished country is also experiencing the worst cholera outbreak in recorded history. The bloody war in Yemen is back in the news. In recent weeks, the Saudi-led coalition has tightened the noose around the poorest country in the region. In late January, the coalition targeted a detention center, claiming some 70 people and wounding many more. It also hit a telecommunications center, knocking the country off the internet. The Saudis have speeded up their aggression since October, after the UN Human Rights Council voted to end its war crimes investigation following intensive lobbying by Riyadh.
So here we are again. People in Yemen who have endured years of horrific suffering, widely documented by the UN and Amnesty and others, have now been left without any kind of UN mechanism to either document or investigate those violations. So we all know that the UN system has failed them, allowing for a situation where bullying and bribing, corruption of the system has won the day. Saudi Arabia, the UAE and their allies shamelessly and aggressively lobbied states throughout their capital city and got rid of the Group of Eminent Experts, or GEE.
Against such a backdrop, the self-proclaimed champion of human rights has done nothing to stop this humanitarian tragedy. On the contrary, it's still giving military and intelligence support to Saudi Arabia and its cronies. Even congressional efforts have failed to prevent the White House from supporting the coalition.
It is long past overdue that Congress remove U.S. forces from Yemen, as recent circumstances only confirm. Today, we have the chance to remedy our course of action and to do what the Constitution and justice demand. The situation in Yemen is dire.
When Joe Biden came to office, he vowed to end the war.
This war has to end. And to underscore our commitment, we are ending all American support for offensive operations in the war in Yemen, including relevant arms sales.
But more than 1 year into his presidency, the U.S. keeps selling weapons to Saudi Arabia, which keeps using them in its indiscriminate attacks. Surprisingly enough, the Biden administration approved a $650 million weapons sale to Saudi Arabia, which consisted of 280 AIM-120C air-to-air missiles that will be launched from Saudi Arabia's fighter jets. While described as defensive in nature, the sale angered even some Democrats, who say the non-stop flow of weapons from the U.S., regardless of their categorization, will only fuel the conflict. In other words, despite his anti-Saudi rhetoric, Biden has adhered, like his predecessors, to the traditional role of America in the region, following the preferences of the Saudi kingdom and the UAE and selling them more and more weapons. Upon the outbreak of the war, then-President Barack Obama declared that he had authorized U.S. forces to provide logistical and intelligence support to the Saudis in their military intervention in Yemen, establishing a joint planning cell with Saudi Arabia. Needless to say, under Donald Trump, the U.S. continued its support to the coalition. Until November 2018, that support included refueling Saudi warplanes that dropped bombs on Yemeni civilians, including children. The Trump administration ended the practice after increased pressure from activists and lawmakers about Riyadh's brutal conduct in the war.
Today, we tell the despotic regime in Saudi Arabia that we will not be part of their military adventurism. And today, maybe in the most profound way, 45 years ago, the War Powers Act was passed. 45 years ago. Today, for the first time, we are going to go forward utilizing that legislation and tell the President of the United States and any president, Democrat or Republican, that the constitutional responsibility for making war rests with the United States Congress, not the White House. Let us pass this resolution.
But Washington continues to provide logistical and intelligence support for the Saudis and plans to sell them billions in advanced weapons like precision-guided missiles. In 2019, Trump even vetoed a bipartisan bill which would have ended U.S. support for the Saudi-led military intervention.
So here we are asserting Congress's long-established responsibility oversight of our use of military force and also limiting Americans' engagement in this war, which has gone on far too long. I think we all agree. It's so sad. The president must sign this legislation. We're so proud of the bipartisan support, bicameral legislation that we will sending him to advance a peaceful, enduring solution to a horrific humanitarian crisis.
In the words of U.S. Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, as long as we're providing intelligence sharing, spare parts, maintenance transfers, selling weapons, regardless if they're offensive or defensive in nature, or so-called offensive or defensive, we're going to see more violence. Since the beginning of the Yemen war, the Saudi-led coalition has been pounding the country with bombs, many of them supplied by the U.K. In fact, London immediately expressed strong support for the Saudi-led campaign. The war saw sales of UK bombs for 2015 increase from £9 million to over £1 billion in 3 months. In September 2016, then UK Foreign Minister Boris Johnson refused to block UK arms sales to Riyadh, arguing there was no clear evidence of breaches of international humanitarian law by the kingdom in the war in Yemen, and that it would be best for Saudi Arabia to investigate itself. According to the UK campaign group Campaign Against Arms Trade, BAE Systems has sold £17.6 billion worth of arms and military services to the Saudi dictatorship since 2015.
In fact, we sold £1.4 billion of arms to Saudi Arabia in 3 months last year, including bombs and missiles that could be used in Yemen. Given everything we know about the appalling humanitarian cost of this war, with innocent civilians caught between the Saudi coalition and the Houthi rebels, why does the Prime Minister think it's right to be selling these weapons?
In April 2019, The Guardian revealed more than 40 Saudi officers had been trained at prestigious British military colleges since the start of the Saudi intervention in Yemen. While the World Food Programme warns it cannot feed Yemenis properly because of funding shortfalls, the UK slashed its humanitarian aid to Yemen by half in 2021. All in all, both the US and the UK have been providing, arming, refueling and servicing Saudi warplanes, which have routinely struck weddings, funerals, apartments, markets and other civilian targets. Although the two countries have enjoyed exemption from accountability, that doesn't change the reality on the ground. They are both accomplices to war crimes and have blood of innocent people on their hands.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Murtaza and Sayyid Mohsen. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Sayyid Murtaza, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
So today, when you look at the media all around the world, a type of harsh, violent, barbaric picture is made out of the religion of Islam, especially with the creation of such groups like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the suicide bombing, you know, here and there. especially the people in the West, has a wrong view regarding the religion of Islam and the true teachings of Islam. Today we want to talk about this topic, how the religion of Islam can help international bodies to establish peace all around the world. Said Mursal, let's start with you, brother. Islam is really a peaceful religion, isn't it?
Well, thank you very much. If you look at the word Islam itself, it has its deep root in peace and comfort. So these days we know that peacekeeping is a very essential and important part of everybody's life. I mean, the whole humanity needs to take refuge to peacekeeping. Otherwise, the same skirmish that we can see around the world is happening.
That's right.
And unfortunately, conflict and fights have taken over, you know, to many parts of the world, even very small communities around the world. So, unfortunately, some biased medias, are trying to instill this wrong idea that religious conflict is the root of all these problems around the world. And we know that it has become a very important issue these days. Okay. So the religion of Islam is very much interested and even is trying to disseminate this true ideology that peace and religion are together. So any religion who's trying to propagate conflict, discomfort and problems is not actually a true religion. So
right.
Islam is telling us that peacekeeping or keeping peace among all humanity is very essential and is necessary.
Okay, and there have been so many conversions to the religion of Islam because of the peace that it brings into the society and also at the individual mental level. You know, the people who has converted, when you ask them, one of the reasons is this tranquility, calmness, and peace of mind that it brings to you. This is one individual aspect, but when you look at the societal, social, collective aspect, you can find also this kind of peace. Said Muslim, what's your comment on that, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, we should know that that the religion has a strong influence on the people.
Yes.
In belief and in their faith. So, and we know that the people, they cannot live without having a belief or faith. Even the atheists do have a belief on which they obviously rely. Therefore, we see different religions in the world and we see people divided into different religions. But the Islam, as brother has said in its name, it has the word peace itself.
Yes.
And according to one meaning, we refer to the religion of peace. Therefore, Islam has a big contribution in order to make a peace. And obviously, it depends whether we follow the Islam in its true way or not. Because everything has two kinds of use. It can be used properly or it can be misused. So when we talk about the religion of Islam and its contribution towards the peace in the world, we can see that the Islam is the complete version of all the religions.
Okay.
And it has everything within it. And because it's the final religion, we can say like from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Therefore, it also refers to the peace as well. And on top of that, we, the slogans even in the Quran and that are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are not general or general slogans. For example, when he talks about his prophet, he wants to introduce his prophet, he says he's Rahmatul Lil Alameen.
Yes.
He's the mercy for all the worlds. So the one who is mercy for all the worlds means that he is the bringer of peace to all the worlds, basically.
Right.
So when we talk about the worlds, obviously it's different
yes.
states.
Okay.
So we can say like Islam has a big contribution if we really follow the true Islam.
That's right.
Because nowadays the problem is that the enemies are propagating against Islam
yes.
and people do not know the real source
yes.
of the Islam.
That's right. But say, Murtaza, there are still some doubts and questions regarding the misunderstanding out of the religion of Islam, because the extremist groups who are really the pioneers of showing a kind of violent, barbaric picture of Islam to the world, refer to the same text of the Holy Quran that calls Prophet Muhammad as Rahmatul Lil Alameen. But they understood it in this way to kill here and there, to commit suicide, and such, violent actions that are every day shown on the Western media, on the news, here and there. You can find, so many clips, video clips, the audios here and there. And that's why even some of the scholars of religions in the world at the universities,
believe that these violent things are based on the very text of the Quran and the context in which Islam was created. What's your answer to that?
Well, actually, let's look at the wrong misinterpretation of some verses of the Holy Quran. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, some people that you call them scholars, they have their own interpretations, which has no actually base and roots in Islamic principles and ideologies. And unfortunately, we have this idea that the religious leaders who have a very crucial role in bringing peace into communities, highly important to know, and it's really good to know that we all have a very important task to establish peace mm-hmm. among all communities. This part has been forgotten by these people that they are just by name scholars.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they are not very much involved in interpreting the true aspects of some verses of the Holy Quran.
Okay.
So these pictures that have been broadcasted around the world are just coming from those interpretations that are not true. So if, on the other hand, we have another downside of this issue that many scholars do not get themselves involved in providing the true interpretation of those verses and give them the information and give such information to those who are going to fight in order to bring peace, not to bring conflicts.
That's right.
So some fighting is not all about creating conflicts. People sometimes are dragged into fighting. I can call them not fight jihad because they want to bring peace. Unfortunately, this has not been interpreted correctly.
That's right. This interpretation of the verses of the Quran, and the thing is that they delete some part and they add some part to the verses of the Holy Quran. The context in which that verse was revealed is not known to them. And if you look at the history and how much the religion of Islam could help establishing peace among the families and the societies on the Arab Peninsula at the time of Prophet Muhammad, it would be really beautiful from the side of the scholars. But Sayyid Mohsen, still, as I said, there are some commentaries written on the verses of the Holy Quran and the incidents, especially after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad, about the wars that took place by the Muslim leaders and the kings here and there in different lands of the societies, show that maybe Islam was spread by sword and not words. What's your answer to that, brother?
Well, the problem started right after the demise of the Prophet.
Okay.
And for your previous and the recent question which you asked, for both of them, the answer is that the main root of this diversion and this extremism which we see in today's world, it's because right after the demise of Prophet, there were some people who said, Hasbuna Kitab Allah. The book of Allah is enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the book of Allah brings the overall or general rules, and the detailed rules and the details are in the life of the Prophet, in the narrations of the Prophet. So when they left the Sunnah of the Prophet and the narrations of the Prophet, and they just attached, they got the book only,
yes,
which they couldn't even understand, because the book of Allah, Quran, has in its verses, there are some hidden meanings.
Yes.
There are some clear wordings. There are some mutashabih, there are some similar things which are said. There are some clear,
the muhkamat and mutashabihat have
different meanings, obviously, as well. But obviously, there is nasikh and mansukh. There was a rule, and later by the Prophet, it was overruled, and then the new rule came. So when we look at the Quran, it has different aspects. In order to understand the Quran, we need to refer back to the history of the revelation.
That's right.
Why this verse was revealed upon the Prophet.
Yes.
Because of whom? What happened? Who did what? So that the Prophet has said this, or Allah has revealed the verses. So when they left all these things, these details, and they just got the book on its own without the teacher, without the explanation which was given by the Prophet, we can see all those issues that happened into the Islam. And the picture today that we have, that Islam is spread by the sword, this was never happened in the life of Prophet.
Yes.
Prophet never invaded any place.
Yes.
Rather, the battles which he had, it was in defense of Islam. He was defending the Muslims.
Yes.
And at that time, yes, it is true that it was out of the Medina. Why? Because at that time, whenever there used to be a battle, they used to go at a common place.
That's all right.
Which was in the middle of two countries or two places.
Okay.
So this was the reason, basically. So the main reason is when some people left the sayings of the Prophet, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which were obviously yes. Allah has also emphasized okay. on this. And the Prophet also said, I'm leaving amongst you two things, the Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Mm-hmm. So when they just got the Quran and they left Ahlul Bayt, they left the sayings of the Prophet narrations, the explanations okay. about the verses, that's what happens generally.
Okay.
And this wrong picture that today we have is because of
that's right.
leaving the explanations given yes. by the Prophet.
And the Ahlul Bayt also as the true exegesis of the Holy Quran. But in the 21st century, still after 14 centuries, after the relation of the Holy Quran to Prophet Muhammad and Islam, how do you think, Sayyid Murtaza, Islam and its teachings, its true teachings, I would like to very much use this term, pure Muhammad and Islam's teachings, you know, can help international bodies like these different international bodies that are working for peace, you know. Whenever you look at the main slogans and the mottos of these organizations, you can find peace. How Islam can help them in today's world?
You know, let's look at this question from another point of view.
Okay.
So all religions, including the religion of Islam, to some extent came and it was descended to prophets to bring peace and bring nations together. So it is a duty we all have, and this has been bestowed upon us,
yes.
that we must work very hard to teach and influence on each and every community on the earth in order to live a peaceful life and to be a follower of this peaceful life. So the religion of Islam has put a great emphasis on this aspect.
Okay.
And if you can see, wherever we have gatherings, meetings, the first thing that is been mentioned by the speakers and those leaders, especially religious leaders, is the unity.
Yes.
So when we talk about unity and the united nation, so it means that Islam is putting its greatest yes. slogan and mottos on unity. So unity is not happening without understanding, without mutual understanding,
yes.
Especially about religious matters.
That's right.
So the religion of Islam is focusing on similarities.
That's right.
The differences are not going to be given the first priority.
Okay.
So similarities bring people together.
Right.
So this aspect is the one that Islam has been propagated and has been talked about this matter over centuries.
That's all right. Especially as you said, reaching a kind of common ground among the Islamic leaders between themselves and also the leaders of the other religious communities and being united is a really important one. You know, the meetings that are happening today and the dialogue, both interfaith and intrafaith dialogues that are taking place and established in today's world show that all religious leaders are after making this peace in the world and not the conflict. But unfortunately, this media and the power of the media is showing it the way around.
And of course, you know that we need to work in order to build relationships.
Yes.
And relations of trust,
okay.
With other religions.
Yes.
And this is what Islam has been always doing. You know, over the past centuries, we had our infallible imams,
yes.
Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And on top of all, we have the Book of Islam, Quran, is telling us and its followers that a amicable relationship with other religions and with other followers of the other religions is really of a great importance.
That's all right.
So this shows that Islam has already said clearly that peace with and to other nations and anyone is very important.
That's all right. Sayyid Mohsen, thank you very much, brothers, for your presence in the program. Viewpoints regarding how the religion of Islam can establish peace in today's world. It was very kind of you. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, view our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye.
symphony of nature. Oh, it's taking my breath away. I'm so blessed out here today.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, all over the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic beliefs from IRB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to focus on the doubts and misconceptions posed by different questioners all around the world concerning the Islamic issues. For this, we have invited an Islamic scholar from Qom Seminary Schools to join us in this studio and answer our questions. I'd like to welcome Sheikh Nur Muhammad into this show and say salam to him, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to this show.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure for us to have you here, Sheikh. Some days and nights, it is being said that the moon is in the status of Al-Aqrab, Qamar fi Burj Al-Aqrab. I wanted to ask you if these recommendations that have been mentioned on not to perform, not to do some actions and activities in such days, does it have any religious base, or are they coming from, a reliable source? And then, is it really important for us to know about the celestial bodies and their positions in the skies and heavens? And are we to check all their, status and positions and to tune our lives based on them?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for this valid question. You see that talking about celestial body and the impact of that on the, behavior of human being, generally speaking, the point that you mentioned, we have in one narration that when there is moon in Scorpio, and or for example in Farsi we say Qamar dar Aghrab, it is dislike to, for example, to have some kind of marriage, actually to have marriage in that time. We have only this narration talking about this issue, and most of the scholar, they said this is dislike, not forbidden to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to say that it is only for the time of the for the marriage, and for one or two things has been mentioned in that particular narration, not more than that.
Very true.
It doesn't mean that, for example, when moon in Scorpio, it is, for example, you cannot do anything or all things are forbidden. No, at all.
For example, it is being said that you are not allowed to go to a trip, and it's better not to take a trip.
You
or
cannot,
not to,
yes.
Decide for having a children, or to not decide to have a child in those days and nights.
I want to say that in this, in the talking about this narration, we just suffice ourselves with the what has been mentioned in the narration. It is dislike to go to the trip, or for example, to have.
Is
a
it
marriage.
Only a matter of like and dislike? I mean, it's a matter of to be good or bad or no. There is sort of prevention in these hadith or narrations.
It is not the prevention is to the you know extent of dislike karaha. Mm-hmm. Not it is forbidden.
True.
Okay, the point. But generally speaking, let me go to the talking about the basis of this idea, whether we can have this kind of bad omen or good omen or not.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think, more important than this idea.
True.
You see that if you go to the narrations of Ahlul Bayt and to the verses of Noble Quran, first of all, you see this verse of Noble Quran, "Inna tatayyarna bikum." We have bad omen about you. Okay.
Yeah.
Quran, Noble Quran, refute this idea. Okay?
Yes.
He said that the idea of bad omen or good omen, it is basically wrong. قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنْ ذُكِّرْتُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ Noble Quran said that whatever you do, طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ means your action, your a'mal, your behavior is with you.
Yeah.
Whatever you do is with you.
True.
Okay, and it does not separate from you. And of course, if you remember and if you remind by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the transgressor and you are out of the limits.
True.
You see that Noble Quran wanted to say that, or for example, we have ayyam al-nahisat, the days which are have some kind of bad omen. Of course, this is a literal translation of the verse.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, when Noble Quran talks about the bad omen days,
yeah.
For example, these days are have some kind of bad omen, Noble Quran wanted to say that the reason that particular day is has some kind of, you know, evil within it, it is because of your action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
When your action is evil, you have some kind of consequence. You have some consequence for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it has some negative consequence for you.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. On IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way.
Interrupt you here and ask an important question which actually nullifies our previous explanations in previous shows. I want you to correct me, Sheikhuna. You said that earlier that time and place is very important for us, for example, to perform some of the supplications and du'as and prayers, right? You said that some of the times are more important than the others and some of the places are more important than the others. For example, this place that we are talking about, that is the studio, is not as important, as good as, for example, the a place of a mosque. Or this mosque in
yes.
our vicinity is not as important yeah. as the mosque of Kaaba, right? So definitely if everything, these concepts of time and place are not equal, then there might be some places or some times which are not that good as the other times. For example, there might be some bad times also. Or at least not bad times, some ordinary times and some better times.
Of course, we cannot do comparison here. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for example in narration, we have that if you go to the mosque or while raining, if you pray,
mm-hmm.
then you have more reward. We cannot compare it to this point because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the noble prophet and his pure progeny themselves explain for us that if you do it in that time or in that place, it has much reward for that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But here that the in this context that we are talking about, celestial body first of all does not have any effect on the behavior on human being.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if you go to the astronomy, astronomers even themselves they do not believe for sure that, for example, this ruling coming out.